Good afternoon, welcome to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We've got another big show on hand for today, as we'll be talking a lot about men's basketball as well as women's basketball, and then track and field. They had a big indoor meet at Hughes Fieldhouse this past weekend. And of course, baseball and softball got their seasons underway as well. I'm John Coffey alongside Matt Tritton. And Matt, this is, again, one of those times of year where you have the carryover from one sports season starting into the next. This time it's winter sports with the spring sports and a busy time. And surprisingly, in some respects, the baseball was able to get some games in despite some inclement weather that they had to push through. And softball playing inside in a dome up north, but got a lot of things to talk about this week.
Yeah, you know, you kind of look at it, and with baseball going south, that one makes sense. You look at the schedule and see softball scheduling for Mankato, Minnesota, early February. That's a head-scratcher. But, yeah, as you mentioned, they're up there playing in a dome, and, of course, we'll hear about that from Coach Taez and Sophie Mayhew coming up in a little bit. But a little bit of a different environment there. But I think at this point, it's all about getting out, getting as many reps in as you possibly can, and building yourself up for that conference season when it rolls around. I think for both baseball and softball, too, anytime you can get region wins, of course, that's major, but as competitive as the MIAA is, that has to be the sole focus of finding your way into the tournament, try to make some noise there and kind of see where the chips fall when it's all done. So both these teams, you know, facing adversity a little bit early on here in the year with the weather, especially on the baseball side, but both, I think, have a good chance to push through and do some good things this spring.
Well, in baseball, I know would like to have a little bit better record on their trip south, but they got their season off to a great start with a great pitching performance to start off the season and 1-0 win in their season opener.
Yeah, Max Spitzmiller was fantastic for Northwest Missouri State against Wichita Baptist. He went out through 8 scoreless innings, gave up just 4 hits in that one, struck out 9 batters. And to have an ace like that, I feel like we've been talking about Max for like the last 8 to 10 years. One of those names that just kind of, man, he's been around for a long time, but brings that veteran leadership for Coach Lowe and this team. And I think that's a major way to be able to come out and start off this season of saying, hey, we've got the arms that can go out and go while our bats start to get warm. We're going to go out and put ourselves in position to win each night. And you turn around after that one, too. The Bearcats, after taking on Wichita, lost 2-1 to Henderson State on a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 10th inning. Zach Weiss went out, and he was scoreless through 5 innings of that one, too. So the Northwest starting pitching, I think, through that first weekend was probably as good as you could have hoped for, because it does take a while to get those arms up and into condition or where you want them to be. So 1-2 as they come back to Maryville, you're right, probably not where they'd like to be, but it does feel like there's a good chance for this team to make some hay.
Well, if you have good pitching, that'll take you a long way, and hopefully the bats will get started. I think talking to Coach Lowe last week, he felt like they might be a little bit behind the pitching early on, and that was the case this weekend. But the more they get a chance to get outside and take in some live pitching in natural conditions, I think things will look a lot better on that side of things as well.
Yeah, it'll come around eventually. But as we've seen over the years, if you've got a pitcher that can start off your weekend series in a big way, and even that second pitcher that can come around, that 1-2 punch, that is huge to go out, get a couple early wins, and really kind of establish momentum before potentially a bullpen game or a third starter coming up a little bit later on in the weekend for Northwest as we do get a little bit closer to those conference games. So I think it's a good start so far, and excited to see where they go from here.
And for softball, a tough weekend from a wins losses standpoint, but as the weekend went along, start to see a little bit of improvement in a lot of aspects for the softball team.
Yeah, make no doubt about it. What they went up into, I mean, that's a grinder up there. Not only is it you're playing in a dome and you're not quite used to that, despite the Hughes Fieldhouse being that indoor complex, it is different up there with what Mankato has and some fantastic indoor facilities up there too. But you're taking on some of the best teams within this region, not only the NSIC, Minnesota State, preseason ranked number 11 in the country, one of the top pitchers they faced as well. So, you know, that first ball game, after a Hannah Blackford leadoff single, it was tough sledding because she really locked in, and it was hard for Northwest to really get much going. So that was a struggle. But those last two ball games they had against Minnesota Duluth, you saw them start to come around, got a couple runs driven in, some pinch hitters stepped up. Sophie Mayhew's first at-bat was as a pinch hitter there in game two, had a double, and slowly gaining confidence herself, but also from Coach Taez, to where she did get in the starting lineup as the weekend wore on and finished up 4-for-8 at the dish and really did some good things. So I think it's kind of the same way there, too, of it takes a little bit for the offense to get itself going as the season just gets underway, but I think this is a team that Coach Tejas feels very confidently that they've got some older players that have swing some good bats, and that will come around at some point.
Indoor track and field had another big meet at the Hughes Fieldhouse, and some very good individual performances for Northwest as they gear up in a couple weeks for the MIAA indoor meet, and another meet coming up this week as well down in Pittsburgh, Kansas. So they're well on their way to peaking at the right time, getting ready for a couple big meets on down the line.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a team that just comes out and competes and goes so hard. And that was a big meet over the weekend. 51 teams coming into the Hughes Fieldhouse. So, and Coach or Andy Peterson, golf coach, athletic director, let us know that team-wise, that's the biggest meet that Northwest Missouri State's ever held. Maybe not individual-wise, but 51 teams coming in. That's big for Maryville, big for the economy as well. But this Northwest team is not only going out and competing well on its home track, but they're going against some of the best within the Midwest and around the country as well. So I think the same will be said as they head down to the Gorilla Classic at Pittsburgh State this weekend. Another fantastic indoor complex here in the Midwest that they do it right there. So a chance to continue to go in, continue sharpening yourself, and have yourselves ready once the MIAA meet does return back up here to Maryville a little bit later on this month. We are not far from that. That's going to be February 25th. Through the 27th. So I think Coach Masters and company really think that they can come out here and do some big things once they get that meet back up here. But you're right, they've really put on a show so far.
And basketball this past weekend, a trip to St. Joseph, a split of a doubleheader with Missouri Western, the women unfortunately losing to the Griffins, the men coming up with another big win, their 20th straight over the Griffins. And then you look ahead toward tonight, a couple big matchups on the road again, this time in Emporia, Kansas, at a place that's traditionally tough to play, especially on the women's side. But I think the Northwest women come in with a good chance to come away with a win tonight.
Yeah, Emporia State might have the best guard in the conference, maybe the best point guard, one of the top in the country, I think. Treasure Joe, we've got to see her a few times through her young career to this point, and she is so talented, such a good scorer. And there's athletes around her, but it's just not coming together for Emporia just yet. So they're 6-9 in conference play. They're hanging on to that final spot in the MIAA tournament standings with a couple weeks left to go. So you know they're going to come out motivated. The Bearcats haven't won at White Auditorium on the women's side since 2002, so it has been a long 20 years. You know Coach Meyer wants to see that streak snapped here tonight, but you're right. If Northwest comes out, slows things down, play the way they do defensively, they've had chances to beat Emporia the last 3 years but haven't got over the hump. Maybe tonight's the night they find a way to get it done.
Now, on the men's side, Northwest has had quite a bit of success against Emporia State through the last several years. But I think when you look at this from an individual standpoint tonight, a lot of folks are going to really look forward to that matchup between Trey Buchanan for Emporia State and Trevor Hudgens for Northwest, two of the top guards in the nation on the same floor tonight.
I mean, Buchanan, we've seen him from afar, and we were kind of looking forward to seeing those two match up a little bit earlier in the year. COVID protocols pushing this one back to tonight. This is going to be a fun one to watch because these are two really good basketball players. Both can score in bunches. Buchanan's been leading the nation in scoring. I think he's around, just over 27 points per game for pretty much the entire year. Trevor's been hot on his heels. So this might not only be a big game for Emporia State trying to improve their NCAA tournament resume, but also that MIAA player of the year. Like, who's going to pull that one out? This matchup could go a long way toward that. Also interested to see how Northwest matches up with Buchanan. Is it Trevor versus Trey? Does Diego Bernard step out there? Does Isaiah Jackson? So the Bearcats, they have the horses that they can put a guy on him. It's just a matter of he might be so good, he's going to find a way to get his no matter what.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Isaiah on him for a considerable amount of time tonight. Isaiah's really stepped up to be kind of that guard that they put on the other scorers that he can stop some guys from scoring. So Isaiah, really, his defensive skills have really come along since he's put on a Bearcat uniform.
Yeah, he's really bought into what Coach Mack is telling him and Coach Snyder. And so it's fun to watch Isaiah develop. Again, a guy that's not going to put up 20 points a night for you, but will find ways to do other things. The defense has been there, the rebounding as well, and he's a distributor. So I think Isaiah could be poised for a fun night.
Yeah, and it should be a fun night all around. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 5 o'clock with our pregame for the women, 5:30 and 7:30 tip-off times for the two games. We've got a big show coming up today as well feature all the sports we've talked about. That's all coming up from Pizza Ranch in Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center, offering a walk-in clinic weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and 8 a.m. to noon each Saturday. Appointments can be requested online, and 24-hour call-in scheduling is available. More information at clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
We're back talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball. We're joined by Jaina Green, a forward for the Bearcats. And Jaina, first, coming off a tough one against Missouri Western, only ball game last week, playing a rival, and that was one through the first quarter. The Bearcats playing really well. That second quarter, they kind of pulled away, and Northwest pulled back in a little bit, but just too many plays for Missouri Western down the stretch, it seemed like.
Yeah, it kind of felt like that. It kind of felt like whenever we were starting to get over the hump, there was just like a run they went on or a few things to like the ball didn't bounce our way. Now, like controllable things that like when you look back now, you're like, oh, I wish we would have done this. And yeah, it's kind of sucks to lose games like that when you look back and you're like, well, if we would have done this, it would have been different. But I mean, I think everyone's like taking losses as like just motivation and stuff like that, especially Western being a rival. And we got them at home. They got us at their home. So it'll be interesting if we end up playing them in the tournament. So,
well, and that one back here, a 49-46 win for Northwest. And so the score there over the weekend wasn't really indicative of how close these two teams actually are skill-wise when they get out there on the floor. Is that tougher to swallow or a little bit easier knowing, you know what, that was kind of self-inflicted that we can come out and beat these guys?
Yeah, I think kind of what you said, like self-inflicted, because it was, what, a 5-point game with 4 minutes left, something like that. And, I mean, they end up making plays, like you said, at the end to pull away. But, yeah, I think looking back, it is a little more encouraging that it's controllable. And it's not like they just came out and were better than us at everything. It's stuff that, like, we can work on and fix ourselves.
Is it nice to get a loss out of the way like that? I mean, outside of Southwest Minnesota State to start the year, and that was a lead for Northwest in the first quarter of that one. Outside of that, it's been essentially single-digit losses when they have come about, and you guys have been in every ball game. Is it like, all right, this is our wake-up call for the stretch?
I think so, yeah. I think that would be a great way to take it. Like, yeah, I was thinking the other year yesterday how we haven't lost games by double digits, and honestly, that was a double-digit loss, but in my mind, it really wasn't because it was a battle the whole way. Like, each team was throwing punches, and it was a good game. So, yeah, I think that everyone could take that as motivation and kind of remember that feeling and never want to feel like that again. So,
for you coming out, 13 points, a new career high, 3 block shots, really played well defensively too. Outside of the way the outcome goes and some little mistakes here and there within the team, did you feel pretty good throughout that game?
Yeah, I felt good. It always feels nice to, like, contribute in, like, different ways. Like, I don't always, whatever, score double digits, but, I mean, if it happens, it happens. And, I mean, if someone does it here, then someone else will pick up the slack there. So, yeah, I mean, I felt good. I mean, going into half, we kind of talked about, like, everything that we are doing and why we're losing is our fault. Like, it's not like they're doing anything crazy, X's and O's, and playing so much harder. Like, I feel like common theme is, like, we can control everything. We just have to, like, focus and put our minds to it.
So we talk a lot about your defense, too, and you had that versatility where we've seen you guard centers, but we've also seen you step out and take on guards at the same time. Where does that versatility come from? Is that something you kind of knew coming into Northwest that you would be kind of back and forth?
I think I always knew I was, like, a decent defender, but I don't think I ever, like, bought into it as much as I did when I got here, especially, like, last year when we didn't really have a true five. Or I guess Ellie Horn was five, but, like, so was me and her. And when there was nobody else to guard post, so, like, kind of step up to the challenge. And then coming into this year, like, it's, like, interesting to go out and step out on the perimeter and guard people. So I don't know where it comes from. I mean, it's kind of fun, but yeah, I don't know.
Is there a preference? Do you want to be out around the three-point line?
I don't know, because banging around under the basket makes you really tired. But also those guards can be pretty fast. I don't know. I like both.
And there are some games, too, where it just feels like there's a magnet to you, and the ball just always finds a way off those rebounds. You're always getting there to it. So this week, a tough stretch. Emporia State on the road, Pittsburgh State and Missouri Southern, all good teams. Even though Emporia, you look at it, they're kind of holding off that 10th spot in the MIAA tournament right now. You know, with Job on the other side, they've got some playmakers over there. What is the mindset heading into this week?
Expect to win, I think. We, like, talk a lot about confidence and stuff, and, like, we all put in the work. Like, you can see down there right now, like, everyone's in the gym. Like, I think we need to, like, pass that level of, like, oh, well, we can win. Well, like, let's expect to win. Like, let's go out and let's play hard and, like, let's see where the cards fall.
It feels like Northwest has had some close calls against Emporia State, but it's been a while since the Bearcats have got over the hump against the Hornets. How special will this be to go win at White Auditorium?
Oh, it would be awesome. Yeah, we've never beat them since I've been here. And one game that I always think back to is my freshman year in the MIAA tournament. We, like, played them in the second round and got, like, blown out. So I feel like every time we kind of play them, kind of feels like a little revenge game. But, yeah, it'll be fun.
The Bearcats are due coming up in that one. So, turning to you personally, too, just a couple of random questions that kind of pop up in my mind as we go. So, you wear the number 32 here with Northwest. Mm-hmm. Is there any meaning behind that number at all?
I was 32 my freshman year of high school, and then I changed to 23. So, I was like, oh, I'll be 32 freshman year of college, and I'll change. But then I liked it so much, I never changed. So, not really, I guess, but I like it.
You know, Magic Johnson was 32, Karl Malone, some of the best all time, so I didn't know if there was some hearkening back there at all.
No, that's nice. You keep my name in their company.
Yeah, I will. All right. And so we talked before we went on. Going into biomedical, what's your major?
Biomedical science. Yeah.
So what's the career path you're looking for?
I want to go to med school, and I want to be a doctor. I don't know what kind, but recently I've been leaning toward, like, OB or something, like babies. I don't know. I think developmental science is really cool.
It is interesting once you dive into it, but it's obviously, like, it's why you go into broadcasting if you're not very intelligent. So that's why I went this route. So that's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
How's the grade point average hold up with this?
You know, it's not as good as I expected coming in, but we're a solid 3.5, so I'll take it.
3.5 is very impressive, regardless, especially for what you're going into. So, Jana, thanks for the time. Good luck this week.
Thank you.
That's Jana Green, Northwest Missouri State forward, joining us here on the KXEV Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll take a timeout and be back with more here on 90.5 and 88.9.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at rogersrx.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni, and 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Northwest Missouri State women's basketball going on the road this week, taking on Emporia State to start things off, then the Bearcats, Southern, and Pittsburgh State on down the line as well. We're talking with head coach Austin Meyer. And, coach, a chance to be one of the more fun weeks of the season if you really like to go on the road. Maybe not so much if you don't like being away, but it feels like this is a team that enjoys getting out there, getting on the bus, and being together.
Yeah, they enjoy road trips, being out, you know, in hotels and restaurants and hanging out and spending time together. So we're looking forward to it. Obviously, it's a really tough stretch when you think of these three places going into Emporia, where, you know, the program hasn't won in, I think, 20 years. It obviously Pitt's always tough, and then Southern's playing as good as anybody right now. So it's going to be a tough stretch for us, but we're excited about it.
Coming off that game on Saturday with Sunday kind of in between before practice and leaving on Monday, was that a chance to kind of step away? Let's take a deep breath and kind of push that one aside, move on.
Yeah. We'll show a few clips from it just because we want to make sure we're learning from the mistakes we made. But get back in here today, get after, and get ready for Emporia State is the plan.
Talking with Jana, it felt like a lot of that was just kind of self-inflicted, Northwest not coming out and making certain plays they typically would or at the free throw line even. Is that one that you can kind of go in and say, if we play our game, we're playing with anybody in the conference, anybody in the country, and kind of turning that page quickly?
Yeah, we felt like we beat ourselves. Now, they're a really good team, but we just felt like, you know, even at the end of that game too, that, you know, they believed they were going to win, and we were just kind of trying to survive. You know, you look up, it's a 4-point game with 5 minutes left. We're right there in the game, we got to improve on breakdowns and mental things as well. You know, the first quarter, I think we turned it over 11 times. You know, we started off 5-0. We were playing really good defense, and we just throw them the ball, give them 4 points on our turnovers before the half. It's a 3-point game, you know, 2 minutes left, and we just have silly fouls. And we gave them 6-7 points at the line. Third quarter, it's a two-possession game. We missed 5 straight free throws, so – you know, even if you know, we talk about making plays and being players and going and hitting shots and being confident, but even if we struggle, you know, shooting the ball, if we just clean up those areas, you know, we got a really good chance to win the game. So, you know, I think a lot of it is just trying to figure out how to win against, you know, the elite teams. You know, we've won more games this year than the program has in a long time, and that's great, but we're just not able to get over the hump right now against these really good teams. So we just got to keep working and figure out how to get it straight.
Positives to come away from that, though, as we see Janie Green take another step up. The defense, of course, was there once again, but she also goes off with a career-high 13 points and really looks like a player that can be big come March.
Yeah, that's going to be huge for us. I think she's that was probably the best game she's played offensively, and not just, you know, she shot it with confidence, which is big, but getting downhill, getting to the paint, getting to that kind of 3-4 foot range where she's got her little turnaround, she can finish. That's going to help us significantly. You know, a lot of teams are putting good defenders on Molly and McConkie, and a lot of times she'll get a secondary defender, maybe a defender that's not as good. So we got to take advantage of it, and she's been great. And if she can keep up that mindset, it's going to help us. But she's always been a great defender for us. And I think, you know, from my point of view, sometimes I think I get too where we pump her up too much defensively, that you know, we forget how good she can be offensively, and she can help us a ton.
She kind of talked about that first year. Maybe she didn't buy into being as good of a defender as she could be, or maybe she didn't believe it. But now it kind of feels like one of those that she is one of the most versatile players on the defensive side in the MIAA. And guard, forward, center, whatever it is, she can take them on.
Yeah, definitely. I know, you know, last year she didn't get it. Not that it really matters. It's about winning. But not being on an all-defensive team, you know, a lot of times that's statistic-driven. You know, she does have a lot of blocked shots, but, you know, a lot of times people look at, oh, this kid had this many steals, so let's put him on the out. Well, steals doesn't necessarily mean you're a good defender. It could mean you're gambling, you're out of position, where she's always in great position. She can guard multiple positions. She can switch ball screens. She can guard in the post. She can guard in the perimeter. And when you see her block shots, it's not really her rotating over because somebody got beat and blocking a shot. It's pretty much her just guarding the ball one-on-one and people trying to score over her when she blocks it. So she's always in good position. She's got good feet. She's got a knack defensively. And, she's as good as there is.
As you shift that focus toward Emporia State and we think about Treasure Jobe as one of the best guards in the conference coming in, how do you slow her down? What does she do so well?
Yeah, she can get her shot. They run a lot of ball screen stuff, so we're going to have to be sound defensively, making sure we're getting through the ball screen, not allowing her to shoot over, but she's also good at getting downhill. They have quite a bit of shooting around her, so when you tag and try to help off ball screens, you know, she can drive and kick it. So we just got to make sure we're up, not giving up angles, easier said than done. Make things tough on her because, you know, like a lot of good players, they're going to score. But if you can eliminate, make it tough on, make those baskets tough, and then take away everybody else, you got a shot.
Is this a similar team to what we kind of see out of UCO? They want to be a little more up-tempo and jumping in passing lanes and kind of come out and, for Northwest, slow that tempo?
Yeah, they'll run a little 2-2-1, three-quarter court press. Sometimes they'll go full court just to try to slow you down a little bit. In the past, they've gone to a zone. They're playing a lot more man after you get past that 2-2-1. So we'll see. You know, we've struggled against zone. You know, we were you know, playing really well against Western there in the fourth quarter. We got switches we wanted. Molly was taking advantage, and they really couldn't stop us there, you know, midway through that fourth quarter, and they switched to zone the last 3 or 4 minutes, and we just had no answer for it. So we got to clean that up, be more prepared for it today, and make good fundamental decisions if teams do go zone, and got to make sure we can score out of it.
Northwest taking on Emporia State this evening, and after that, on the road to Southern and Pittsburgh State as well. Coach Meyer, thanks for the time.
Thanks, Matt.
Northwest head coach Austin Meyer joining us here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll take a timeout and be back with more from Pizza Ranch in Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry in Maryville. Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, contacts, and sunglasses. Dr. Losh is also available after hours for emergencies. More information at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from King City Lumber. Their post-frame and all-steel buildings can be used as homes, barns, sheds, garages, or commercial buildings. More information about planning, design, and construction is at kingcitylumber.com.
Support comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance Agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911. We're in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show, joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And Ben, good to have you with us on the show here today.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
And another good win this past weekend, a victory over Missouri Western, 84-61, and 20th straight win over the Griffins. That's quite a record there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in town, that's their, you know, when you've been around this place for a while, that's their main rival. And if you win one game a year, that's the game they want you to win. And we were fortunate enough to play well enough to win, and especially that second half really, really put a good run on them. And came away with the 20-point victory.
You know, that's just a heck of a record. I guess anybody in them might have played the way this conference shapes up, regardless of what the record is, year in and year out. But to do it against a rival on a team that's had some pretty good teams through the years that you've gone up against.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They got a lot of talent, and I thought they played very well in the game. They had a good game plan. To be able to beat anybody that often, especially somebody that brings it and gives you their best shot every time. I think that's a big deal.
First half on Saturday, Jerron Thames really went off, I think 20 points in that first half, seven there in the second half. What are some of the big keys to slowing him down there in the second half?
Just guarding him better. You know, he hit some tough shots in that first half. I thought the thing that hurt us was the offensive rebounds that they got when they did miss shots. And we cleaned that up the second half and then made a run offensively. We were able to score a little bit more and kind of pull away.
Well, for Trevor Hutchins, another game where he kind of goes into the record book in another area this time around. A couple different things. Number one is 123rd career start at Northwest, beating out Justin Pitts for that mark in the MIAA. And that in itself is just quite a feat to be healthy enough to have 123 starts or something.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and through COVID too. So, you know, he had two shortened seasons. And, to be able to come out like that he started every game in his career and been great with it. So I don't even know how many records he's broke at this point, but at the end of the season, we'll try to figure it out.
It seems like every game there's a different one that falls. Another one, three-pointers made in a single season at Northwest. He's currently at 116. Breaks Joey Wittes' mark, and then my AA record's right down the line with 118 coming up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Hopefully he'll He'll break it here shortly.
And then as you look ahead, another mark that I don't think we've talked to you about on the coaches show about this, but the only Division II team with 11 straight 20-plus win seasons. You already got that out of the way for this year.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty impressive. It just says about the quality of kids in our program and the ability to maintain success and maintain a culture and just continue to win year in, year out with different players and different teams, and you know, it's been fun.
And to do it this early in the season too is something. In the last few years, early in February is when you seem to be hitting that 20 win mark. I know in the past getting to 20s late in the year seemed to maybe solidify a bit into the NCAA tournament, but getting 20 wins this early in a year has to mean a lot to you as well.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think it's just a number, obviously, but you know, it's a barometer that just it helps judge your success and your continued success. And yeah, obviously it's a big deal, and you know, it just again says a lot about our culture.
Getting ready to go to Emporia State after you left Northwest as a grad assistant. I think everybody knows that you went there as an assistant coach for a few years before getting the head coaching job back at Northwest. Just talk a little bit about your tenure at Emporia State and how that helped you grow into the coach you've become here.
Yeah, I think anytime you go anywhere, there's always people that help you along the way. And, you know, I felt like Coach Mo really helped offensively, helped me see the game a lot differently. And then he allowed me to do a lot of different things that prepared me to be a head coach. We loved our time in Emporia. It was great, great people. You know, and when you're the assistant, you're always the fan favorite anyway. So, because you every time you win, it's your doing, and every time you lose, it's the head coach's fault. So, you know, it's fun being an assistant there, and really enjoyed our time.
And you had a chance to coach at a place that has just a really a great home court atmosphere there at White Auditorium.
Yeah, it's a great venue, great gym, nice and loud, and you know, it's a tough place to play.
Now, as you look at Emporia State this year, 16-6, 11-5, fourth in the MIAA coming into the matchup Tuesday evening. And one of the things that really stands out, Trey Buchanan coming into their program as a grad transfer from South Dakota State, leading Division II in scoring, second behind Hudgens as far as three-pointers made. That ought to be a heck of a matchup tomorrow night when you look at Trey Buchanan and Trevor Hudgens on the floor at the same time.
Yeah, you know, I think so. I think the good thing about Trevor is he is not really concerned with that matchup. Trevor's concerned with winning the basketball game. And, you know, in regards to they have really good players. They do a good job. They're a good basketball team. You know, our job is to try to win the game. And, you know, individual matchups don't really matter in our minds.
What does Buchanan bring to the team that they maybe didn't have last year when he wasn't a part of that roster?
They've had it in the past. I mean, obviously he's doing it at a different level. You know, they isolate a ton, him and Turner a ton, and they're very difficult to defend. They both can score at a high rate. And so, you know, they kind of just shoot with a lot of freedom, and then the other guys go get offensive rebounds. And, you know, it makes it difficult because those two are very, very talented, and so we'll have our hands full.
A couple stats to look at. They lead the conference in block shots as well as they do a very good job taking care of the basketball. They don't turn it over very much.
Yeah, I mean, they shoot it before they, you know, you just when you don't pass as much, that allows you to be able to not turn it over a ton. And, you know, that's just what they've gone to, and it works really, really well. And again, Chase Oboards, and yeah, we'll have our hands full. I mean, they'll be a tough team to play.
Part of a tough week, three games here in a short period of time, all on the road after the matchup with Emporia. Head over to Pittsburgh, Kansas, with Pittsburgh State, and wrap things up with Missouri Southern on Saturday. So a lot of road time this week.
Yeah, for sure. No, it'll be great. You know, 6 days on the road. Can't wait.
Isn't there a country song, I think, 6 days on the road, something like that?
I'm sure there's something. Golly, I wish I'd listen to it the whole time.
All right. Well, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks a lot, John.
That's the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. Stay tuned. We'll be back and have more on our coaches show right after this timeout.
Support comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information is available on location or online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Eckerd's Home Improvement in Stanbury, serving the community for more than 50 years. Eckerd's can assist in kitchen and bathroom remodels and offers tile, hardwood, or carpet options. The design centers open Monday through Saturday and online at eckerdsflooring.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're talking now track and field on the show now, and joining us is assistant coach for the Northwest Missouri State track and field teams, Nikki Wettstein, along with a competitor in the sprints and hurdles in Allie Hammond from Parkville, Missouri. And first of all, good to have both of you with us on the show here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it looks like another busy weekend this past weekend. We were talking before we went on how busy Hughes Fieldhouse was this weekend, not only with the Northwest invite, but a special youth activity going on this past weekend.
Yeah, we had over 1,300 athletes at our Bearcat invite. And then to follow that up Friday, Saturday, on Sunday, we had a youth meet that had probably around 250, 300 participants. So Hughes saw a lot of people this weekend. So,
and from a Northwest standpoint, it really looked like it was a good meet for everyone.
Oh, absolutely. You know, being at home, our kids take a lot of pride in that. I think they train there every day. You know, we're hosting conference this year there. So I think we had a total of 7 or 8 provisional marks. One school record went down, another was tied. So it was a great competitive weekend for our athletes.
And it looks like Allie Hammond, who we have here today too, had a pretty good weekend.
Oh, heck yeah. We were really excited. You know, this girl is a maniac in the best way. Her events are probably 5 to 10 minutes apart. So she will, you know, gear up, run the hurdles, and then turn around and run the open 60. How she does it, I have no idea.
And Allie, how do you do that?
Honestly, I don't know. Couldn't even tell you.
But, boy, again, some great times this weekend. A personal best in the 60-meter hurdles, 8.88 seconds. And then another personal best in the 60-meter dash. So I have to feel real good about the way things went this weekend for you.
Yeah, just being able to run my PR and turn around, probably not even 3 minutes. And, you know, PR in the 60, didn't expect it at all.
Have you ever seen anything, Nikki, like that, where it was such a short time period between the two where you have someone come up there and just put in together a personal best?
I think it takes I've seen it once or twice, but it takes a very special athlete to do that, you know, because with having two events back-to-back, if you have one tough race or challenging race, you know, to turn around mentally and recover from that is huge, not only mentally but physically, you know, because those are short, explosive races. And it was great to see, you know, I think her hurdle hitting a personal best really just made her focus more for that open 60, and she was able to hit a provisional mark. So now she's on the national list, and she's just mentally tough. It's great.
And Allie, I would guess to go along with that, you kind of have to have a short memory, not only to physically recover from things, but just to put the past race out of your mind, regardless whether it's good or bad, and then just get ready to focus in on the next race.
Yeah, I just think for me, I am kind of an emotional person, and sometimes it is hard to put those bad races out of your mind, but sometimes I think, you know, using, you know, whatever emotions, whether it's good or bad, and pushing that into your next race is kind of what really kind of propels me forward.
And as you look at just overall your decision to come to Northwest from Parkville, Missouri, and compete for the Bearcats, what are some of the things that stand out for you on why this was where you wanted to call home at college?
It's kind of a funny story. My sister, Jordan Hammond, ran track here, and originally, because of that, I didn't want to come here. You know, going to high school and being known as, you know, Jordan Hammond's little sister, and then doing it again in college was something I didn't really expect, but I came here looking at it just academically and fell in love, and then just kind of meeting the coaches and the team and just seeing the facilities, I know this is the place for me.
And Nikki, that's something that we see through the years for you.
talk about Northwest or really any university trying to foster a family atmosphere. And I would think it makes you feel good to know that you've got some older siblings that go through, then the younger ones see what's developed at the particular school, in this case Northwest Missouri State, where they want to follow and be a part of that.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, we preach family, and in her case, it is literally family. But I am glad that she's here. I mean, I don't know Jordan. I never coached Jordan. But if, you know, she's anything like Allie, obviously she's talented. You know, she's very driven. So we do preach that family atmosphere. And the kids, thankfully, they hang out outside of practice. And it's very natural and not forced. You know, us coaches can only do so much. So I think they take a lot of pride in being around each other and kind of doing what's best for each other and the team.
What are some of the things you like about coaching Allie?
You know, she is a sponge. It's really great because, like, we'll be at practice and I'm like, okay, Allie, I need you, you know, to do this. And she's like, okay, hold on, give me a minute. You know, and then the next rep, she did it. I'm like, okay, well, that was great. Now let's try to do that again and again. So she's very focused. She's very driven, you know, and I don't know. Her attitude every day is great. She comes in very focused and kind of ready for whatever challenge I throw at her. So thanks for dealing with my craziness here, Allie.
And Allie, again, making a personal best in both of these events. Still a lot of track to be run this year. What are some of the other goals you have to maybe try to continue to have some PRs here?
Well, obviously, I want to hit a provisional mark in my hurdles, but all in all, there's just a lot of technical things that coming into the season I wanted to fix, and regardless of the times that I run, just being able to, you know, set those goals and be able to set them up for, you know, next year and just make sure that technically I'm as perfect as I can be.
You know, last week we talked with Nikki about the thought process of people that want to do hurdles and some of the aspects of that. What are some of the things that you decided that was an event you wanted to be a part of?
I think the biggest part is because hurdles is not easy. Being able to mentally kind of run full speed towards this barrier over and over again, it's hard, and you know, you do it and you fall, and it's not easy for people to kind of get back up and just do it again. And I think that for me was really what drew me to this event.
And really what amazes me in watching that event is how effortlessly you see these competitors make that look, because it is a very difficult event.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, you know, I'm really, really thankful. We have a great hurdle crew. Sarah Prickett this weekend finally hit that provisional mark. I think that woman has ran 8.8 something the past 4 or 5 races. So for her to finally get on that national list was huge. And it's great because, you know, there's about 4 or 5 women, you know, that are in our hurdle crew, and they push each other and themselves every day, and they're always critiquing each other too. Hey, Allie, I saw this. That was great. You know, hey, Sarah, I saw this. You need to fix this. So they're very, you know, they're almost coaching each other. So it's fun.
And then to turn around and run in the dash competition right after that, obviously it looks like a dash should be a little bit of an easier event than the hurdles just because of that. But what are some of the adjustments you have to make from going from one event to the other?
I think the biggest thing is just kind of realizing these are two different events, and just kind of going into each race and each rep, just focusing on what you need to do in that moment, regardless of, you know, what else is happening.
Now, Nikki, you talked about a couple of school records, one a tie, and then one that was broken this past week. Let's just talk about, first of all, the one that was broken at Caroline Cunningham in the women's 3,000 meters. Set a new indoor record at Northwest, and that was a heck of a time. I think, what, 9:59.99, first time under a 10-minute mark in that event.
Yeah, you know, we were kind of giving her grief, like, 0.01, that's all you could give us under 10. No, under 10 is a huge accomplishment for a female, you know, in the 3K. And it was awesome seeing her race that, because she was, you know, giving her effort, her best effort. And I think she, like, almost dove across the line to ensure she broke that 10. So that was a really big accomplishment for her. And we're very, very proud and excited for her.
Then Jada Smith in the high jump ties a school record in that mark at 5'10" and a provisional qualifying mark as well, so you have to feel good about that too.
Yeah, Jada has been very consistent in the high jump. I mean, if you go back this year and look at all of them, I think it's about 4 centimeter difference. You know, she's very, very consistent, so we're really excited to see what she does here at the national meet.
Now, we've talked in the past with Brandon Masters, the head coach for the track and field program, about the importance of building from one meet to the next, as you want to have everyone peaking at the right time, which is a couple weeks from now at the MIAA meet, which you'll have an opportunity to host. When you look at this past weekend, you feel like you're on the right track with the way you want everybody to be competing right now?
Absolutely. You know, it is always hard hosting because we ask our kids to work after they're done with their events. We're like, oh, great, you're done. Grab a rake and help, you know, rake the sand pits or whatever the case may be. But overall, competitively, I think, you know, like I mentioned earlier, our kids take a lot of pride in competing at home. And every week we get a little bit better. You know, we have a couple more provisional marks. We're moving up on that national list, on that conference list. And I think, you know, they put in the work at practice and they talk about it at practice. Hey, this is what we need to do. This is what we want to be as a team. And I think our women's team is going to be shock some people in the conference this year. So
now, before you get to conference, you've got another meet coming up this weekend, Pitt State, down to another nice indoor facility in the conference. And that's something that, if you look at the development of indoor track and field in the MIAA, you're seeing a lot of nice venues popping up now that you can go and compete, where you don't have to travel a long way to play to compete in indoor activities.
Yeah, we're excited to go to Pittsburgh. That's where indoor nationals will be held. So, you know, our kids can get a taste of the track there. You know, and I think you brought up last week how I'm from the MIAA, and I don't like saying this, but back in my day, we didn't really have all of these gorgeous indoor facilities. So it's great for our kids to be able to compete on 300-meter tracks, 200-meter banks, you know, and again, like you said, not travel too far. So
it seemed like in the past, most of the indoor season went through Lincoln, Nebraska, for the most part, two or three big meets there every year before you could find some other venues. But now, right, you just stay home in the MIAA, which is very nice.
Yeah, yeah, it's great for our kids. They can, you know, get some homework done.
And, Allie, we talked a bit, too, about coming to Northwest. Just kind of talk, besides what you do on the track, talk a little bit about your major, your academic studies, and what you look for in the future.
So I am a digital media major. Have no idea what I want to do with that. But just my classes just give me an opportunity to really kind of get a taste of what this field is. And I've had classes that I've gone in and I'm like, I definitely do not want to do that again at all. But just being able to do that, you know, in school is something that I don't think a lot of people have the opportunity to. But here in Northwest, there's so many different programs and, you know, your teachers are, you know, trying their best to work with you. I've had so many great professors who have, you know, worked with me even around my busy track schedule and missing so many classes. And I think that's really good, you know, having the confidence that no matter what I'm doing, you know, on the track or anything, that they're going to make sure that I'm getting the material so I can succeed in that class.
And the great thing with what you talked about there, too, is you have an opportunity to kind of field out what you like, what you don't, and you've got some time to make a decision before you graduate there.
Yeah, which is really great. I think a lot of people come into college not really knowing exactly what you want to do after, you know, these 4 years. And so being able to kind of have those experiences kind of make it easier for me once I graduate to feel, you know, what exactly I want to do.
And I know classwork, as well as just the time involved with being a student athlete, takes up a lot of your time. But what are some other things you like to do for you to enjoy when you have a chance to relax outside of all these things?
I love cooking. For sure. Me and one of my teammates, we, you know, we're on Pinterest coming up with these really nice, like, pasta recipes that we have, like, our pre-meet dinners, and that's really fun. I love to kind of just draw and sketch all the time, and I've recently gotten into reading, which is something I normally don't do, but when you have the downtime, you know, just a book is a lot, you know, more interesting than sometimes just scrolling on social media.
I imagine, too, loving to cook makes you very popular with the rest of your teammates, too.
Yes, I think, you know, us hosting team dinners is going to become a regular thing for us.
Kind of a double-edged sword there, too, I guess, a little bit.
A little bit.
Dinner at Allie's.
There you go. There you go. And Nikki, too, besides this past weekend with the Northwest Invite, we touched on this a little bit too with the youth events on Sunday, but that's a nice way to bring a lot of people into Hughes Fieldhouse and introduce them to track and field.
Yeah, it's a great recruiting tool for us. You know, we have some high schoolers that show up, but I think it's great for the community as well, because, you know, not only do we have a huge Friday, Saturday, but having people come in to the town on Sundays, you know, they'll go eat lunch. And again, thank goodness we have great athletes that help us with those youth meets. You know, they're, I think it's great too for them to see like kids enjoying track and field as well. It's not just a college thing. It's 5-year-olds to 95-year-olds. So we have a whole lot of different people in the building on Sunday.
And an opportunity for them to be very good role models too to a young group of kids that really look up to these athletes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And some of them want to go into teaching. So this is another, you know, little taste for them to make sure that is the right path for them.
All right. Well, appreciate both of you stopping by for the Coaches Show here today, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Again, we've been talking with Allie Hammond from Parkville, Missouri, a sprinter and hurdler on the Northwest Missouri State Track and Field teams, and Nikki Rutstein, assistant coach for the Northwest Track and Field squad. We'll be back. We've got more coming up on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park provides residents and visitors with an 18-hole golf course, the Watson 9 Junior Course, and indoor golf simulators. More on Mazingo's golf offerings at mazingolake.com. Support for the Bearcats comes from Planet Sub on 4th Street next to Student Body. Planet Sub opens at 10:30 every morning and offers a variety of oven-baked subs, cookies, and soups, and is also available for catering. More information at facebook.com/PlanetSubMaryville.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at RogersRx.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Northwest Missouri State softball getting set for a road trip down south. We'll be playing 5 games in Bentonville, Arkansas in the upcoming weekend. We're being joined by Northwest Missouri State head coach Naomi Tellez, as well as 5'6 sophomore Sophie Mayhew for the Bearcats. Sophie coming off a great weekend. We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. But coach, overall, some tough ones there in Minnesota, playing in Mankato at start off against the 11th-ranked team in the country. So it's a tough opening weekend regardless of kind of getting your footing, but especially when you kind of have those teams across the way at the same time.
Yeah, and I think last week we kind of talked about playing, you know, the top teams in the NSIC, and you know, we really went out there, and unfortunately on day one both of those teams were through the races against us. And you know, being in a different environment, playing in a dome, is not easy right away, but I think with every game we saw some improvement, and towards the end, you know, our bats started to come around, and fortunately in the last game we just couldn't string them together, but definitely had some progress moving throughout the weekend.
What is different? We have the Hughes Fieldhouse here, but for someone that doesn't play softball, it is much different going into the dome and playing that, isn't it?
Yeah. Everything inside always seems faster, regardless of if it is or not. It just seems faster. You're in a different environment. You know, you have lights and wires and everything that you have to deal with. So it's really just truly a test of, okay, who can overcome these obstacles.
Sophie, for you, as you do kind of get in there, and Coach mentioned, as the weekend went on, things kind of came around and the Bearcats found some life there offensively especially. What was it like when you first kind of get in there for that first one against Minnesota State, and then the weekend kind of carries on?
Yeah, it was definitely a little nerve-wracking just being in this, first of all, huge dome that at least I'm not familiar with. Some of the girls were, but and, you know, the turf is a lot faster than it is at Hughes, and it was just intimidating to see these teams that you know that, you know, they're pretty good, and these pitchers that are really good. And I think our nerves really got to us, our at least first couple games. But then as the games went on, we definitely got more comfortable playing with each other and playing for Coach Tellez and everything. And yeah, our bats definitely woke up.
When you're playing in a dome like that, or even practicing at Hughes, do you like the fact that you can come in and know that every hop's going to be true? There's not going to be that outdoor environment that can throw a wrench in it?
I personally really like that, but I feel like it's different being a middle versus a corner. Last year at my old school, I played third, and I hated playing on turf because everything was – it is just so much faster, and that's a little bit scary, but being a middle, just knowing that you're not going to have that bad hop or anything, that's calming.
You're on that turf. It's the true definition of the hot corner at that point. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely.
So, Coach, you're coming in and you're getting to the players and how everyone responds in certain situations and so much going into that opening mm-hmm. weekend. How do you evaluate a weekend like that? Or is it one that you kind of just throw out and say, all right, we've got some of the nerves out. Let's just push forward.
I think the first three games for sure was a lot of nerves going into it. It was, you know, them getting used to how am I going to react to certain situations for good, bad, or, you know. But I think after that, we really said, okay, let's take it one step at a time. What are the small victories, you know, that we can take from this? And our offense did start to come around. You know, we couldn't string them together. But also, you know, in the big scheme of a 56-game season, I said, it's weekend one. We're fine. Like, we're really fine. We got to come back, you know, get our work in this week and hopefully, you know, improve upon it.
Sophie, you can be honest here on the coach's show. How did she respond to the good and the bad? I'm just kidding. You don't have to, we're not going to go down that road. Well, we did see the offense come alive those last mm-hmm. couple of games, especially against Minnesota Duluth, and put some runs up, mm-hmm. out-hit Duluth there on mm-hmm. Sunday. Is it a matter of just kind of that big hit that can break yep. open an inning?
Yep, it's the timely hits. I mean, we got people on and we just couldn't push them across. And I think at one point in time, we had the leadoff person on like for the first four innings and we just couldn't capitalize on it. And, you know, it's hard, especially when we're not producing offensively, because you want to create something. But at the same time, you're like, wait a minute, you don't want to get anybody thrown out either. So, I know it's going to come because, like I said, you know, in the lineup, I think everybody, almost close to everybody, got a hit in that game. So it'll come around.
There's a lot of it, too, right now. It's just been a while since we've seen live pitching against someone else.
Exactly right. And, I mean, you know, we, against Mankato, she is one of the best pitchers in the country for that reason. And strikeouts were going to happen. And that's exactly what she did.
So, Sophie, coming into it, second ball game of the year. You get a pinch hit opportunity, mm-hmm. you drive a double. How hard is that to the first time that you're seeing live pitching all season as you come in and you get a big hit like that and kind of building it up and getting yourself ready right away?
I was definitely really nervous because I wanted my first at-bat as a Bearcat to just, I wanted to get on somehow. Like, I didn't want to strike out, I didn't want to pop up, anything. And I have a big problem with coming underneath the ball. So I was up there and I was just repeating in my head. I was like, top of the ball, top of the ball. And then the very first pitch, I saw it. And for myself, as I get deeper in a count, I mean everybody, but I just get more anxious and more worked up. So I was like, I'm going to get this early in the count. So first pitch, I see it and I was thinking top of the ball. So then I hit it, you know, hard ground ball right down the third baseline, and it worked out.
Well, and as we look at it, too, you're trying to produce runs for the team.
Right.
We're also trying to go in, prove yourself to a new coach, earn mm-hmm. more and more playing time and more starts there, too. There's a lot that goes into that than just kind of stepping up, grabbing a bat, and jumping in, right?
Right.
Coach, for you, when you see that kind of approach and a player jumping into the system like that, you have to like what you're seeing early.
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, even though we did obviously not win that game, but there was a lot of people off the bench, you know, that came up, put a bat in their hand, and they just swung because at that point in time, what do you have to lose? You know, go do your at-bat the way that you want to do it. And honestly, when she came up swinging out the first pitch, I was really surprised. I was like, all right, here we go. Let's roll.
How much of that are you putting on the player of do what you're comfortable with, and yeah. how much of that is me kind of saying, all right, we want to take a pitch in this inning or vice versa?
Well, I mean, I think in the first weekend, it was really just getting them to understand this is your at-bat. Do what you do best, whatever that is. And a lot of them towards the end of the weekend, I said, you know, one person can't hit a 7-run home run. You know, that can't happen. We have to stay within ourselves, and whatever is comfortable for you, do it. Whatever that may be.
Sophie, overall, 4-for-8 on the weekend. You also had a triple. You drove in a run there in that final game against Minnesota Duluth. Now the jumping off point for the team as a whole as you get ready to head down south. What is that mindset as we head into this next weekend?
I think this week at practice, we know exactly what we need to work on. And everybody should be, you know, more calm about everything because we've been there, we've done it for 5 whole games, and I feel like everybody's kind of thinking like, okay, we're kind of at rock bottom right now. We need to rally up, work as a team, string these hits together, because individually by the end everybody was getting those hits, just not at the right time. So now I think we need to work together more.
And as we look at it, the weather's improving a little bit this week. Mm-hmm. Will there be some outdoor practices before heading to Arkansas
tomorrow afternoon? We will get out on the soccer field.
But we're going to be out there because it is going to be warm. Just especially for our outfielders getting balls in the air. Because, again, when's the last time we've really done that? And we were in a dome last week. So they had to dodge them off the top of the dome to try to catch them.
That's something else.
That was fun to
watch. At that point, why not just schedule some games in the Hughes, right?
That's right.
Home field advantage. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
All right. Well, Coach, Sophie, thanks so much for the time and good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
That's Bearcat head softball coach Naomi Tejas and sophomore from her team Sophie Mayhew joining us. And that's going to wrap things up for us here on the KXCV Maryville KRNW Chillicothe Bearcat Coaches Show. Be sure to tune back in tonight at 5 o'clock as we start our pregame before Northwest Missouri State takes on Emporia State. The women's game gets underway at 5:30 and the men at 7:30 right here on 90.5 and 88.9. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Tritton saying so long.